Numbers chapter 2. Numbers chapter 2 and verse 1 says this. Oh, hold on. If I just stay right here, can I do this? All right, thank you, Joe. Numbers chapter 2 and verse 2. No, verse 1. And the Lord spake unto Moses and unto Aaron, saying, Every man of the children of Israel shall pitch by his own standard the ensign of his father's house, far off from the tabernacle of the congregation shall they pitch. Let's pray. Lord, thank you for today. Thank you for this passage. Thank you for this day. Thank you for all the things that are involved here. God, thank you for the opportunity to be able to open up your word. And Lord, I pray that you would bless all that is said and done. God, may you be honored and glorified with our words, with our actions. God, I pray that you'd be with these six young people as they set off on their own directions now. And God, I pray that they would consider you in all that they say and do. And I pray this all in Jesus' name. Amen. Numbers chapter 2 and verse 2, we're told of this unique passage. Actually, if you read through, you're going to see a lot of what you would consider maybe repetition. It's going through the tribes of Israel. But I want to draw your attention to verse 2. It says, Every man of the children of Israel shall pitch by his own standard. Interesting phrasing. Say, what does that mean? Does that mean like everybody gets their like own specific tent size? Is that what that's talking about? There was a standardized something or other? No, the standard there in reference is the flag. There was a flag that would represent each nation of Israel or each tribe of Israel, and they would pitch it and they would place it, and it would represent something so that it could be seen from afar off. The flag represented their camp. It identified them, listen now, with their father. It's called the standard. You know, it's amazing to me how young people that have a personal set of convictions or standards are in this day mocked. God says, I want, and it's no chance. He doesn't use the word flag. He uses the word standard. It's not by accident. You know, I have a hard time identifying with this. This just isn't my thing. And June 14th, which is actually tomorrow, 1777, Congress approved the United States flag. It had 13 stripes representing the 13 counties. The counties were being added what they deemed faster than what they could keep the stripes up with. So they decided, as we can tell, they would place the stars representing each of the states or counties. They used stripes to represent the 13 original counties. And for us, the red represents hardiness and valor, white, purity, and the blue for perseverance and justice. There's something special to us about the American flag, what we would call the standard. Israel had a standard. America has a standard. Tonight, I want to encourage our graduates to have a standard. A thing by which it identifies them. If I were to walk through an international airport and I had on my hat an American flag, it would identify me with a nation. As a Christian, as I conduct myself in a way here and there, there ought to be a standard by which I conduct myself. So yeah, what is important to you? You know what? Can I tell you? It doesn't matter what's important to me. As a Christian, the standard is established by what is important to God. 2 Corinthians chapter 10, turn with me there. What will make the most difference in your life, graduates, is when you answer this question, what does God want? You heard it many a time said tonight. You heard it said by Miss Emma. You heard it said by Brother McDowell. As these young people seek the next step of their life, what is it that God wants from them? 2 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 12 says this, For we dare not make ourselves of the number or compare ourselves with some that commend themselves, but they measuring themselves by themselves, comparing themselves among themselves, the Bible says, are not wise. And many a times, the things that are in each of our lives, it's because the standard that I have established is not because of this is what God wants or even that is what is right. It is, what does everybody else say? And the scripture says, that's not wise. Too many times we judge our condition with God by comparing ourselves by those around us. And that doesn't matter. It's not, hey, I'm better than this, or I'm lesser than that. No, in a Christian's life, there's a standard. There's a standard, and Brother McDowell alluded to it already. Number one, the standard in the Christian's life is the Word of God. This is the standard for instruction. I told you years ago, and maybe you've heard the story before, but Hilton Central School District evaluated our curriculum. Say, yeah, how did that go? Well, I sat down with the superintendent, one of the assistant superintendents at Hilton, and they told me this. They said, we love your curriculum. They said, we're interested in it, but we would like to take the Bible out of it. I said, you cannot take the Bible out of our curriculum. It is interwoven. It is the standard by which we learn. This, for the Christian, is the standard of instruction.
Amen. Praise the Lord.
And we ought to raise that standard high. Hey, there's some things that you might move on. You might change some things. You might, hey, maybe I'll start wearing a belt that matches my shoes. That's great, growing up. I'm going to stop wearing white socks with dress shoes. Great, growing up. But never leave the standard of the Scriptures. Proverbs chapter 6, verse 23 says, for the commandment is a lamp, the law is light, and the reproofs of instruction are the way of life. It answers all our questions. It tells us how to handle our finances. It tells us how to run a home. It tells us how to interact socially with one another. It tells us not only how to make friends, it tells us how to handle our enemies. It tells us how to work and how to interact as an employee and as an employer. This is the standard. This is what ought to be seen from afar off. This is what identifies us. Not only our scriptures, but our speech. The Bible says in Colossians 3:17, whatsoever ye do in word, do all to the glory of God. There's going to be something that will set you apart from everybody else, and it's your speech. How you talk of others, how you talk of yourself, and how you talk of God. Don't back away from that standard. Proverbs 15:26 reminds us of the importance of pure words. Ephesians 4:29 tells us that our words ought to edify one another. Do you know how abnormal that is in these days? You watch the news and they can't cut each other down fast enough. You watch politics, all they do is talk bad about one another. Hey, the Christian ought to have words that edify one another. In Ephesians chapter 5, we're told to always give thanks. I loved listening to our young people. In your little handout, the itinerary for tonight, a lot of acknowledged thanking their parents for their sacrifice. Man, that's nice. I'm glad you recorded Emma's. There was a lot of video running on your stuff going there. You're going to love that in about 30 years. That's going to be great. We ought to give thanks. We ought to use our speech. Hey, there's a standard by which the Christian lives. Number one, dictated for instruction through the Word of God. Number two, through our speech. A Christian ought to sound different. There ought to be some words, there ought to be some lines that just never come out of our mouth. There ought to be some things that always come out of our mouth, and that's praise of the Lord. Another standard is our actions. Not only the scriptures, not only our speech, but how we conduct ourselves. In 1 Corinthians chapter 10, turn there, just a few pages back from where you are. 1 Corinthians chapter 10 and verse 31, it says this, "Whether therefore ye eat or drink or whatsoever ye do, do all to the glory of God." Young person, if you find yourself and you're about to do something and you ask yourself, is it what I'm about to do glorifying to God? And the answer is, well, I'm not sure, I don't know. Stay away from that. This is a great filter by which to pass all your actions through. Look at verse 23. It says a similar thing. All things are lawful for me, but all things are not expedient. That means I'm allowed to do whatever I want, but it's just not everything is good for me. All things are lawful for me, but all things edify not. Hey, there's some things that you can conduct yourself in and do that don't help you, that doesn't help the person next to you. These things are not the best for your life. So what is it that you should be doing? 1 Peter chapter 2. 1 Peter chapter 2. First Peter chapter 2 and verse 21, it says, "For even hereunto were ye called, because Christ also suffered for us, leaving us an example that you should follow his steps." Young person, I encourage you, Caleb, Emma, Kaylee, Sam, Blake, Lydia. You're all going to go in different directions. This will never be like this again. But may I encourage you all to follow Christ. There's no better choice. There's no better way to go. There's no better direction for your life than following Jesus. The nation of Israel, each tribe had its own standard. The United States of America has a standard that can be seen from afar off. If you drive down Westridge Road, you get pretty close to Pastor Seatman's house, there is a flag. The old train depot, remember that place? Man, that thing is enormous. That can be seen from afar off. I don't care where you are politically, you see that and you just go, God bless America. That just stirs in your heart. Hey, Christian, hey, young person, the same thing. Set a standard, don't compromise, don't budge, don't move. May your speech, may your actions, and may your love for the Word of God never change. Raise the standard. In Jeremiah chapter 51, two times it tells us to set up the standard for others to see. In Numbers chapter 2, I won't have you turn back there, but it was to identify the tribe with the father. So should be in the Christian's life. To emulate the father. Not your dad. But God, that when people look at you, they identify your actions with God. As Americans, it is important that we never let the flag fall to the ground. That we never let the standard fall. As racial barriers have reduced over the years, many awards have been granted in retrospect to those who were denied them based on their race. However, Civil War soldier William Harvey Kearney lived long enough to have been awarded the Medal of Honor in 1900. He was the first living African American to be awarded the honor. Kearney was born into slavery in Virginia, but escaped to the North. In 1863, at the age of 23, he joined the 54th Massachusetts Infantry. 5 months later, he saw action at the assault of Fort Wagner. The Union assault on the fort suffered 30% casualties. One of those killed near William Kearney was a color guard or a flag bearer named John Wall. Few times in history has the Star Spangled Banner held so much significance as it did to William Kearney at that moment. The flag represented Kearney's freedom, as only a former slave could appreciate, as well as the unity of a nation embroiled in a civil war. Also, there was high honor for protecting the colors. This is a national symbol of a tradition of protection until death that goes back to the eagles of the Roman legions. A fleeing unit has shame, but nothing compared to abandoning the flag. Seeing his comrade hit, Kearney persevered yet another honor of the flag by preventing it from touching the ground as Sergeant Wall fell dead. Almost immediately, Kearney was shot through the leg. Yet, he remained standing with the flag. Instead of retreating to get medical attention, Kearney hoisted the flag high and marched toward the fort despite sustaining serious wounds. When the Union forces were compelled to retreat, he struggled back across the battlefield. He was shot in the chest, arm, and again in the leg during his retreat, but refused to let the colors touch the ground. When another bullet caused a grazing wound to his head, Kearney still refused to let the flag go. He refused help from a soldier from another regiment, as it was the flag of the 54th. Only a member of the 54th should carry it. When he finally reached the safety of his retreated regiment, Kearney passed on the flag and collapsed, saying, "Boys, I only did my duty. The flag never touched the ground." Although wounds of Kearney's nature were often a death sentence during the Civil War, he recovered and kept all his limbs. He posed with this very same flag for a picture before being medically discharged and becoming a mail carrier in Massachusetts. At age 60, Kearney finally received the Medal of Honor for his actions. He passed away 8 years later. So why'd you tell us that story? Because the same desire to not see the standard fall in the Christian's life of William Kearney should be in each of you. What you've been entrusted with, don't let the standard fall. Class of 2021, I invite you to stand. It is with my great privilege to be able to say to you, you may move your tassels from the right to the left. Congratulations. Wardrobe malfunction. We're good. All good? Let's pray and then we'll be dismissed. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this special day. God, thank you for your word in which it holds the truths of salvation, life, eternal life, but also our day-to-day life. Lord, thank you that we can turn to it and hold it so close. Lord, help us to never let the standard fall. Lord, I pray for these young people that you would lead them and guide them. Lord, be with them every step of the way, and may your Holy Spirit touch their heart when they look towards a direction that they ought not to go. Give them strength and faith when they need to take that step, Lord. I pray that you'd help them, protect them from temptation. Lord, I love them so much, and I'm so thankful to have had any influence in their life. Lord, bless our time of fellowship now. Lord, thank you again for all these that are here. Lord, I pray that you'd be honored and glorified with all that we say and do. In Jesus' name, amen. Class of 2021, you are dismissed. Ladies and gentlemen, I invite you to stick around with us for a little while. We're going to move some chairs around. We have two giant sheet cakes, satin frosting. One has raspberry filling in it. Oh, we are excited about that. Take a look at the picture boards, some embarrassing photos of our graduates as young children. And I am glad you are here tonight. God bless you. Have a good night.